Hey guys, it's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women Podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Some of these queens are heroic.
And some of these bitches are horrific. But we think the most important thing and the most interesting thing of all is that they're all notorious.
That's right.
Yes. Welcome back. Welcome back for another episode in our new iteration. We're so excited. I don't know about you, but I really love to be able to kind of like, not even kind of like, but to dig deeper into one woman at a time versus having to sort of be mindful of the time because we don't want it to go too long. You know,
listen, I love being told not to rush. I love being told to just like say anything I want whenever I want. You know, that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
So I really love this.
Yes. And previously, our last episode, we recorded it before the election. So obviously, post-election, we are, I can say I'm not. I'm disappointed. I'm not surprised because racist gone racist and sexist gone sexist. That's just and that's grammatically correct. I'm sticking to it.
100%. That is correct. You're so smart.
Yeah.
You speak so good.
I speak good. Mm. Like I told you, America is dumb. I can't wait for the aliens to come. Mm-hmm. And take us smarter people away to another galaxy.
Great. Thank you.
But this is why we have not, the aliens have not landed, because they drive by and they scan us and they're like, oh, this is the ghetto. So we are not staying. We're not landing there.
Yeah. It's why we do this podcast, so that if they're trying to tap in to like our radio waves, maybe they'll hear us and then they'll save us. Yeah. Dear aliens, please save us. Did you see what we just did in this very large country? It was bad. It was very bad.
Who votes against their own interests? Like,
I don't understand.
Who signs up for it? Like, but you know what? This is why I'm single, because most people I think are dumb.
Yeah, you're right.
And I used to think women were smarter than men, but no, Miriam.
No, they're not.
They're not. No. They're just as problematic and toxic as the men.
Yeah. We learned some things. Yeah.
You know, what's the saying from Forrest Gump? Stupid is as stupid does.
Just voted for an idiot. Okay.
Yeah. So y'all can kiss my black ass. Nobody's yelling at you. Oh, yeah. Southern ladies lying online. Don't be a discredit to your kind, white ladies, just lying. We know y'all, especially the Southern ones. Do we know how much y'all like to lie on people? Black women ain't coming to jump, y'all. We really don't really want to be near you guys. We really don't want to be in your presence. We don't want you in our presence. We really want to be as far away from you as possible. Segregation, if it really were equal, would have continued, because black people really don't want to be near you motherfuckers.
That's true.
So leave us alone. So I will leave you alone.
It's like on the playground when the cool kids are bored. So they're like, ha ha, I have more lunch money than you do. You know, the poor, like what we're doing is ignoring you, right? Like, I can't hear you. What? No, I'm going to go back to my community, because like, you're a dick. You know,
you won, and you can peacock all around you want. And
sure.
I think they want a peacock, but they want us to be crying. They want our liberal tears. They want us to be wallowing in it. But we're not even like, we're disappointed, but we're also just like, oh God, when you realize what you've done, then you're going to be crying. And then it's going to have to be that thing where we have to console you.
No,
because you got what you really, really wanted. But now we're like, fuck you. We're not doing that.
Nope.
And I guess this is where we are. This is where we are. And we won't even have the energy to say, I told you so. Some people are petty and they will say, I told you so. I just don't want to engage with you guys. I just don't want. Stop talking to me.
I have the energy to say, huh, that's what I could do that. when you're like, I lost my health insurance and there's no more education in my, I'll be like, huh. Because, you know, like.
And this is to my Southern women. I'm just going to say this, Miriam. I'm going to say this to the Southern white ladies. Mm. Listen, ain't nobody coming to jump you. Just going on over there with Meemaw and Peepaw and going jump in the creek and leave us the fuck alone. Because ain't nobody studying you, Bobby Sue, Mary Sue. Because we know what you are. We know what you are. Okay. You're trash. And if it walk like trash, if it talk like trash, you must be trash. Okay. So just leave us alone. Please. Ain't nobody looking for you, boo.
Well spoken. Yeah. Very well spoken.
Yeah.
So like I've done so many white women PSAs. Don't look at me. I'm so gleaming. I told you to trust me.
You know,
You bitches did not. You bitches were like, nope. You know what?
You know what I will say.
Yeah.
This is the first time because the white ladies who went in that booth and did the right thing are, this is the first time they're upset because they're experiencing what it's like to be a minority where you're being judged by like the acts of some of the people in your group. You're being judged and we're all looking at you. And they're like, no, I'm one of the good ones. Well, this is how it feels. And it's infuriating, right, ladies? It's infuriating. Sucks, right? When you're like, I don't want people to think that I'm trash, that I voted for this trash, like this orange heap of trash. Yeah. I'm one of the good ones. And it's like, y'all need to go there and handle y'all girls. Like, y'all need to talk with y'all girls.
Yeah. Here's what's got to happen. Your girlfriends who you love to have brunch with, okay, get your nails done. You don't see the same way politically, but like they're really good people. Here is what you've got to realize is that no, they're not. They're not. They're selfish people. They're nice, but does anyone watch Into the Woods? Nice is different than good. Okay, it's different than good. Okay, right? Yep. It has a beat to it in everything. Like, stop with the apologizing for your white sisters. They're trash. Okay?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe they're misinformed. Maybe they're ignorant. Maybe, right? But how many times can you tell them they are voting to hurt other people before you accept that maybe they're not so nice?
Yeah. I mean, they're not even voting to hurt. They're hurting themselves because you know who'd be killing the white ladies? Like, listen, this is, we love true crime on this podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
You don't be killing the white ladies, the white men's.
Yep.
That's who be killing the white ladies. It ain't black women. It ain't black men.
It's not.
The white men's be killing the white women's. Okay, I'm going to get in my Southern vernacular now because that's the only way y'all can seem to understand it. They be out here killing the ladies. They be stalking y'all, be chopping y'all up, disappearing y'all. We were voting so you would have recourse to protect yourselves from the bad white men who are out there trying to kill you. Okay. I'm a black woman. Oh, remember that that thing that was going around a couple months ago when maybe because you have a life and you're not online, but I think problematic white women were having, they were mad because you know how that thing always picked the bear instead of a man, like in the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were saying at work, black women, who would you choose to be your boss, a white man or a white woman? And black women overwhelmingly were like, the white man, because we know what to expect from the white man, right? Like, we know, like, the white ladies, we don't know what to expect. Like, it's harder to tell sometimes. It's harder to tell. And they were really upset. And it's like, we'll pick the white dude. Like,
well, because
at work.
With the white dude, you know exactly what you're stepping into. You have, you just know, right? But I see that with a,
and you can tell what type of white duty is pretty quickly, right? So you could tell if you're dealing with Joe Biden versus a Donald Trump. You can tell pretty quickly.
Yeah.
With the white ladies, you don't know. I don't want to deal with Liz Cheney, even though she was trying to do the right thing. I don't want to deal with even Barbara Bush or Kellyanne Conway. Like, I don't want to deal with any of them bitches.
Right?
Oh, God. Right.
Yeah.
Right? I'd rather deal with a Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
Who am I thinking of? I don't know. Who are some prominent white ladies in politics.
I don't even know anymore.
Gretchen Whitmer, like, I would
Kamala
rather
deal Harris.
Like, I'm thinking of white ladies. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but when you're dealing with white ladies in the workforce, you're not really sure, because oftentimes they pretend like they're Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton, and then go into the booth and turn into Kellyanne Conway.
Listen, sometimes they even think they are. They really, yes! truly think they are. And yes. that's what gets me. I've had more than one conversation. Listen, I'm a white lady. White ladies attract white ladies. So I know they love to share with me their thoughts and ideas. And I'm telling you right now that this is exactly, they're like, no, I am the goodest of persons, but I just don't vote. Like, then you're not the goodest of persons. Stop. Vote for the right person. It's, you know what, but like, here's the thing. I'm not going to go cry tears. I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to strengthen my communities. I'm going to write the postcards that I need to write. I don't know if I'm going to go to any protests. I might.
No, ain't nobody going. Yeah, we need a break from that. Because you know what we're going to do? This is Thanksgiving is coming up. So we're going to eat some pumpkin spice.
Oh my God, I'm going to bake.
Cupcakes.
I'm going to bake. Yes.
Pumpkin pie. Sweet potato pie. I'm a Southern girl. Turkey, ham, sausage,
like the chicken, cranberry sauce duck. From the can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like stuffing. Gloop. Delicious.
That's what we're going to do. And then we're going to get some rest.
Yeah.
Drink our water, moisturize.
Mm-hmm. Get some exercise.
And recharge. And then we'll come back and... Because we all going to need it, even the people voted for this. And you know what? I'm going to take it back what I said earlier. I am going to say I told you so, motherfucker. Now get out of my face.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, no, I know you are.
I'm going to do it because I'm a petty bitch. But
here's what I think is really funny on our very feminist podcast, Let's Be Real. We just threw under the bus many, many women. But let me just explain that is the purpose of this podcast. We are not here to tell you that every woman is great. We have never been here to tell you that every woman is great. We're here to tell you that women are just as complicated and shitty as men, or as amazing, right? But like, wow, America, we got a lot of shitty women here. Okay.
Yep.
Well,
I mean,
that was a hard lesson.
That's our thesis of this show, right? Like,
yeah.
Because the thing is that, you know, again, I love a terrible woman. A murderess. I love a scammer. Scammer's always fun, right? Mm-hmm. But some of these bitches get exactly what they deserve. But what's the crazy thing about it is that a woman could be doing the right thing and still called notorious, you know, which is what we say at the top of the show.
That's what it
But a man could be terrible and people jump through hoops to try and give him the benefit of the doubt. And it's like, no, he's just a terrible person. It's okay. Because he's a person. Just like women are people, she's a person. So on that note, let's get started.
Yes.
Now this week, in honor of Thanksgiving and the holiday season, because, you know, our theme for this season is, you know, pumpkin spice, naughty or nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my notorious woman today could be a little bit of all of those things. So,
okay,
but it's an homage to Thanksgiving. So this is my notorious woman this week is Sarah Hale, AKA the mother of Thanksgiving.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know Thanksgiving had a mommy.
I did not either.
Okay.
Because we think of it as like the first Thanksgiving was 1621. With the settlers and the local Native American population came together and basically had a lunch out in the open.
Okay.
You know, that is what we have been told. Whether it happened like that or not,
like
we're not really sure.
Thursday. The last Thursday of November.
Yeah. Ooh. So let's get into it.
Okay.
Sarah Hale was born Sarah Josepha Buell on October 24th, 1788 in Newport, New Hampshire, to Captain Gordon Buell, a revolutionary veteran and tavern owner, and Martha Whittlesey Buell. Okay. Now, her parents were strong advocates for education of both sexes, which is very unusual at the time.
Okay.
So Sarah, unlike most women of the day, was educated well beyond the normal education of a typical woman, which basically, I don't know, to just kind of refresh you guys' memory, basically women were raised to read by reading the Bible and then how to do needlepoint, right. How to basically give orders to run a household.
Right. But see, yeah. Lovetta, for me, I naturally give orders. I don't need any sort of education. I was head of the class, if you will.
Yes.
I can tell people what to do all the time.
Okay. And presumably during this time, it was to give orders to the slaves or the indentured servants
right.
that were in the household, right?
In my case, it's my husband. Okay, go on.
Women are, that's why a woman should be president, because women are naturally obviously good at running the household, yes. Which yeah. is very, very important. Now, growing up, Sarah desired to become a school teacher because, again, she was educated, taught reading, writing, and arithmetic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And her this was encouraged in her household. Now, in 1811, her father opened up a tavern. And that same year, she met a young lawyer by the name of David Hale.
Okay.
The two courted, they courted and eventually married for about 2 years. And then they eventually married on October 23rd, 1813.
Okay.
So now by all accounts, it was a happy marriage, a love match, as David supported Sarah's desire of enthusiasm around education. And he liked the fact that his wife had a brain.
Isn't that weird that we're so impressed with a man who appreciates a woman with a brain?
With a brain, yeah.
Good on him for understanding that women can sometimes be smart. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, I mean, we're joking, but it's also true that because these men didn't want women to learn how to read because they were threatened by a woman yeah. who could think for herself.
Right.
So, there's something to be said about a man who could yeah. easily probably have found someone just as attractive, maybe the same level, social level, what have you. But he loved the fact that she was smart. So yeah. the two eventually would go on to have 5 children, David, Horatio, Francis, Sarah, and William.
Okay.
And they lived pretty happily for about 9 years until tragically David died in 1822.
But I like David.
I know.
The man I could get behind. You know what I'm saying? Not a lot of those.
Poor David. Yeah. Oh. So so obviously it was very devastating for her. So for the rest of her life, she would wear black as a sign of perpetual mourning. Yeah. Now it's 1822. So we're a new nation. Slavery's still around and a woman has to marry or what have you. But now she has 5 kids. Okay. So she's a widow and she needs to support her family. So it's like, do you get remarried? What's going on? But again, this is a woman of high intelligence.
Right.
And her own mind, who was married and with a man who accepted that. So you can imagine the pickings were probably very slim for her, if that's what she was looking for.
Yeah.
And then she's older now with children. So she had to figure out a way to support her family. So she had always been a writer. So she decided to turn to poetry as a form of income.
Okay.
Which is, she must have been very, very good.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not something you encourage your children nowadays. Oh, you're going to grow up and study poetry? Cool. What are you going to do to make money? Money.
Well, you know. I tell you one thing. Sarah figured it out because it worked. She published a book that turned out to be a very famous book of poems called Poems for Our Childhood that included a very beloved story that has survived today by the name of Mary Had a Little Lamb.
What? Okay. Okay.
Which spawned the Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah. Mary had a... It's Fleece Was White as Snow.
Yep.
Sarah.
So it became an instant nursery rhyme classic.
Yes.
And that is because of Sarah Hale.
Stop. Now, okay.
So she was able to get a steady form of income. And I have a feeling because her father had his own tavern. So she came from a family of entrepreneurs, right. You know, who are thinking of ways to make money. But her big break came in her professional life in 1837. So she was able to do this from 1822 to 1837.
Wow.
But okay. She then became the editor of a hugely popular women's magazine called Godey's Ladies Book. G-O-D-E-Y. G-O-D-E-Y. Godey's Ladies Book. Again, it was a hugely popular women's magazine. So she, for the next 30 years, she would be the editor of this and shaping its legacy and the minds of women.
Okay.
In the household. Now, her work with the magazine made her become one of the most influential voices in the 19th century in America.
Wow.
Her columns covered everything from women's education to child rearing. She also used her platform to support other causes, including the abolition of slavery.
Yes, girl, we love her. We need her right now.
And later, a little bit more controversial thing, even though a lot of Black people refer to this, was called colonization, where free African Americans were sent back to Africa to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of Black people were for it, too. So I will say, I mean, I guess it's like be enslaved here, go back to the motherland. I'm getting on the ship, go back to the motherland. Like,
yeah.
So now while working as an editor, she also raised money for these various causes that she believed in, but also for historic sites, including helping to preserve George Washington's home and the Bunker Hill Monument, both of which have survived today and are open to the public.
I mean, I have a very awkward relationship with George Washington, but that's fine that she did that.
Yeah, she, but again, this is like the 1800s. So right. This is like, you know, this is, you know, I cannot tell a lie version of George Washington.
Got, yeah.
You know what
not
I mean?
The, so, I chase slaves all over the Northeast of America because I'm a white man and they're mine.
Yeah.
George Washington.
Or they're Martha's. Yeah. So it's like.
Wait, I mean, if it's your wife's, it's yours, right?
That's right. I forgot, Miriam. I'm sorry.
I'm here to remind you of where your place is. Okay.
But one of the things, all in all, Sarah's big thing was that she was a patriot. She was strong advocate of the American nation. Her father fought during the Revolutionary War. So she was all about patriotism.
Okay.
So in the 1820s and the 1830s, when other American magazines were merely compiling and reprinting articles from British periodicals, Sarah was among the leaders of a group of American editors who were like, no, we need to start publishing American writers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Cultivating the American identity, because it's very different, right? So she wrote a lot of the articles that were published, but she also would reach out to other American writers to give them prominence, other American women writers, obviously, because it's a women's magazine,
yeah.
But to really put her money where her mouth is, right? To really support them. She also wanted to, and she encouraged people to publish fiction with American themes, such as the frontier and the historical fiction set in the American Revolution. Basically, what our idea of like the American frontier, that's what she wanted to push, that idea. So
do some of these things like end up in our history books kind of thing?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Now, again, she was a strong proponent of abolition. So she was strongly devoted to the Union. So again, she's in New Hampshire. She's a Northern woman. She ain't about that Southern. Oh, I declare. She's like, nope. We all need to come together because we're all Americans. Fuck that. And slavery is morally reprehensible. She was a religious woman, deeply religious woman, who was like, slavery's terrible and you should not be doing this according to God's laws.
Yeah.
Now,
actually, she's right. Okay.
She's right. Now, ultimately, she used her pages in the magazine to campaign for a unified American culture and nation. And she, when she did include Southerners, it was usually Southerners and Northerners banding together to fight against the British. Because again, her father fought during the Revolutionary War. So it's like, we're all Americans. We need to be unified, right?
Okay.
So this is pre-Civil War, right?
Right.
She also, so some of the stuff, it'd be like a Southerner and a Northerner fell in love while fighting against the Redcoats, that kind of thing. Right?
I would live for this shit, okay? I would be rereading copies over and over again because people are people.
People are people.
Yeah.
Now, as a successful and popular editor, she was also very well respected. So she really was able to shape the tastes for middle class women in matters of fashion, cooking, literature, and morality.
Wow. Okay.
Now, she also, because owing to her childhood, she was a strong supporter of gender equality when it came to education. However, and this is why she's really, really interesting. She's definitely a woman of her time. She often wanted equality in education, but she highly, highly and reinforced the gender stereotypical roles. So she thought that women should stay out of politics and use their education and their minds to and focus on the efforts in the domestic realm.
Okay. I mean, that's not really helping anybody. You know, we're not really like pushing a progressive cause or even, you know, making, it's just like an extra math lesson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not
making the world better for women. Sorry, Sarah.
Now, I will say that this is a time where only rich land-owning white men could vote. So women couldn't vote. That never probably even occurred to her, even though we'll get into the suffrage stuff in a little bit because that's been around since the beginning, right? But she basically was like, you can use your intellect and your strong morality to shape the household, shape your children, and also influence your husband, basically. Because she did not support the suffrage movement, which is so ironic. It seems like counterintuitive to her her beliefs and like even her own life. Because here you are, a working woman, you know, and I wonder if she, it sounds like David was great. No man is perfect, but it sounds like David was great. But forgetting that most women are not living with men like that, that value.
Right. Do you remember, did you ever see My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Love that movie.
I know what you're going to say.
Basically the story of me and my husband. Only Jewish, not Greek, but same thing. The neck, right?
Yep.
The man is the head, but the woman is the neck.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, that's funny, but the woman should also be able to be the head. Right? Yeah. Like hilarious. Yeah. And but that's what a lot of strong women in very solid patriarchal cultures, which is like so many cultures. It's, you know,
it's all pretty, of them.
It's all of them. We'll just say it.
Yeah.
When they justify the world they live in because of the few benefits they do get that they are afraid of losing, that is how they justify it. It's not that I want women to change their place. I just want that place to be a little bit better. And that's problematic because it's never going to get any better until you are the head.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's so funny because I remember that exact moment in the movie and I was thinking, well, that's something that's a very old school lady way of thinking, right? So this is a woman who was born during a time where women couldn't have bank accounts, right?
Right.
They could vote, but they couldn't have bank accounts. Well, I mean, her family's from Greece, so I don't know if that's true. I don't know Greek history that well. But so that is how women survived. And it kind of reminds me of Sarah, right? So this notion of
that is the ideology behind a strong, intelligent woman. How do I feel okay in this world? How do I make myself feel okay in this world? Well, these are my options.
I also think it reminds me of the great Dolly Parton. There's a great like documentary, like podcast about her life. And she, Dolly Parton is so savvy in so many ways. And she's a queen. And like,
yes,
but she was saying like, because I remember this was like like a right around the pandemic. And when this came out, and the interviewer was like, Dolly was like, no, I'm not a feminist, right? And you think, of course you're a feminist. You're Dolly Parton, right? But it's like, no, Dolly's of that generation where they thought feminists were women who didn't wear bras, who were not feminine, who were not, you know, ladylike. And I think in Sarah's mind, she's of that ilk too. Like, suffragists are like, even though Susan B. Anthony is very privileged, but they're not really genteel ladies. They're not like ladies. They're trying to be like men. And it's like, no, that's not necessarily, because when you talk to these ladies, like when you talk to Miss Dolly Parton and you're like, do you want this? I like the fact that you want to be able to walk around with big hair, your boobs out, and not be shamed or admonished. That's part of feminism. But it's like, in their mind, that's not what they were taught. They were taught that a feminist is someone who doesn't wear a bra, like I said, who wants to sleep around, who doesn't, who's not a typical sort of like traditional feminine woman also. And it's like, no, I just want to be able to work if I have to be and not be harassed. It's just like,
I want to be able to have a job wherever I need a job, you know, don't not hire me because I'm a woman.
Yeah. And I think it's ironic that Sarah, who is a working woman, has these beliefs. So interesting. So but again, she was of the ilk where you pushed for women to push for influence behind the scenes, being seen and not heard, basically out in public. Now, and like I said, she felt like this would come into how you rear the children, how you kept your household, how you, you know, you taught your children, because this is what they were doing, homeschooling or a governess, right? Basically. And she also said that even when you wrote, she once wrote, quote, while the ocean of political life is heavy and raging with the storm of partisan passions among the men of America, women, as the true conservators of peace and goodwill, should be careful to cultivate every gentle feeling, end quote. Not perfect, but she's of her time. Now, I also find it ironic because when it came to money, she was singing a different tune because she was unequivocally an advocate for the rights of women as property owners. And see, this is what we try and tell women, like, those two come together. Like, you can't have one without the other. Like, suffragists want like rights to own property.
Right. But do you think that is her way of softening the blow?
No, I think she really, really believes that politics is for men. Because it's so nasty. It's so That's the realm of men. Whereas the woman is, but again, this is a woman who's making her own money.
Yes.
And not being told what to do or having her money become her husband's money because her new husband's money, he get to tell her whatever. Because again, this is a time where men, if you divorce, he could take your children.
You just take them.
So I just think that a lot of times our beliefs are based on our own experiences. And it's very difficult, as the recent election shows us, that for people to empathize. Humans really struggle with empathy, I feel like. You know, you can feel sorry for someone, that's the sympathy, but empathize meaning really like, okay, that's not my position, my situation, but I can really understand how that person would feel and relate to it on a emotional level. So, but I just think it's interesting. She's like, oh, no, I'm not a suffragist, but women should be able to own property within their own right.
Bitch, you're a suffragist. Okay, get online, pick up your sign, and march, okay?
Now, and it's also because, again, with the, you know, she's advocating for equal education, women to be property owners, and she also would help found Vassar College. And many other all women's colleges. She really wanted it to become acceptable to the public for the idea of women going to college.
I mean, that's fantastic.
And she had a lot of influence through the magazine. So in 1860, Baltimore Female College actually awarded her a medal for distinguished services in the cause of female education.
Good
job. Because she is a white lady, even though she might be a white lady who would be wearing a blue bracelet. She's not perfect. Okay. So she was worried about the influx of Roman Catholic immigrants.
Oh, girl, calm down.
And the negative influences of the city.
Oh, stop it. Ah.
Now, according to a professor and chair of religious studies at Davidson College, Sarah Hale wanted people basically to experience the quote, rural purity, end quote, of the country. So again, she's from New Hampshire. She's, you know, I feel like she's, was it David Thoreau? What is it? What is his first name? Is it John David Thoreau? What's the famous American?
Yeah, Thoreau. It's Walt Whitman and Thoreau.
Yeah.
David Thoreau? I don't remember now.
Henry David. It's Henry David Thoreau.
Henry David. Okay.
Like, I think of like the, you know, the wilderness, and you have to, and she was really a big proponent of being in the wilderness and appreciating the American frontier. She felt like that would get people, if you're grounded to the wilderness and nature, that will help with your moral purity and that kind of thing. That whole frontiers thing, right? So she's definitely a woman of her time now, but she's already a very accomplished woman. This is a woman who has, like, she's basically the editor in chief of this very influential magazine that millions and millions of American women are reading. She believes in women being educated, which I think is so great, because she's influencing so many millions of women who have little girls who, when their husband may be like, why does she need to learn how to da da da? Well, because we want her to have sense. When she gets married, she can run her household.
That's true.
Can support her husband. She can da 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 da. It's all kinds of ways of controlling the neck, right? moving the head, right? And so I think all of that is very, very good. I also am a patriot, so I love the idea of being like, we're Americans. We need to make decisions that help America, help the whole country. I definitely think that Sarah would not have voted for Trump. Like, she definitely, I don't think so.
No.
I'd like to believe. You never know. Sometimes people are surprising you, but I definitely think she would be one of those people that you meet at a dinner party that you don't agree with everything, but she would see the importance of women keeping their ability to have their own bank accounts, to control their own money, and that kind of thing. So she could never conceive of women having the right to vote. But I think if she were living in this time, she'd be like, well, we don't want that to go away. So
yeah, she wouldn't like fuck with that. She wouldn't.
Yeah. She'd be like, I may not like this candidate, but I'm voting for us to be able to keep our economic independent. So now, beginning in 1846, she began publishing writings to support the creation of Thanksgiving as a national holiday.
Okay.
She charged many, you know, presidents and other politicians to push for a national celebration of Thanksgiving, which had been only celebrated really in the Northeast and in other states throughout, but it wasn't something that all the states did, because again, this is a woman who's a patriot. She believes in a unified America, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Her requests were largely ignored by most politicians until 1863. Now, what was happening in 1863, Miriam?
Oh, me. It was the Civil War. Civil War. Okay.
We were in the middle of it. We didn't know, but we were 2 years in, right?
Yeah.
So because we were in the middle of a civil war, President Lincoln was more open to this, because that was his whole thing, too. He was like, we need to come together as a nation. I don't want to have to go to war with you. But the South was just itching to go to war. They're like, we're going to succeed and we're going to da 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 da. We don't need your money. And Lincoln's like, oh, that's not how that works, bitches. No. So because we were in the middle of war, and also people needed something to keep them going. Again, this is a woman whose father fought in the Revolutionary War. So now she, so she is now a middle-aged woman.
Yeah.
And actually more than middle-aged. She's an older woman.
She's old. No judgment.
Yeah. She's an older woman who now is in the middle of the Civil War.
Right.
So, and I think that she could see the writing on the wall, the division and the differences, depending on, at that time, pre-Civil War, when you traveled in the United States, the experience was very, very different. And she's like, we need to come together, because, again, her father fought in the Revolutionary War. So let's get it together, folks. So she, like Lincoln, were like, maybe this is a good idea. Maybe this is moral, morale push, right? So he actually signed into action a national day of thanksgiving and praise in 1863.
All right.
And he that year cited her letter to him that he finally paid attention to and listened to was the main factor in his decision.
Really?
Which made her the mother of Thanksgiving in the United States. Because
Sarah.
Before that, like I said, it was mainly in the Northeast and other smaller, you know, sporadically right. throughout the states. About 23 states had their own individual state observances, but it was not a national holiday. So when it was written into law after Lincoln signed it, it became a federal government holiday and nationally observed holiday. So it's also that at this time is when we began celebrating Thanksgiving the way we celebrate it today, where we all basically come together with our, as Joey would say from Friends, with his turkey pants, his straight pants. Turkey pants, come together where we all collectively eat way too much food.
So much
and
food.
We fall into a food coma.
Yes,
we have
delicious.
Long naps.
Yeah, that's
and in
fine.
Between our naps, we get up and we inhale turkey, ham, chicken,
mashed potatoes,
lasagna,
mashed potatoes,
green beans, pies,
mac and cheese.
We have collard greens.
Mm. Oh, we don't. We should though.
I love me some collard greens.
I do too.
And we have whatever you have. I know the Italian people have lasagna.
Oh, they have lasagna. I went to an Italian Thanksgiving.
Oh,
that was so good.
Italian people know how to, they put their foot in it all the time. Mm-hmm. Delicious food. Thank you, Italian Americans, for contributing.
I'm getting a stomach cramp just thinking
right?
about it.
Like
looking forward to it, you know.
And this happened after it was signed into law. Now, after the Civil War, as the nation began to rebuild, Sarah continued to argue for a reunion of the nations and the support. You know, again, she's like, we're all Americans. Stop this. We're all Americans. Yeah. That's why we fought the British, so we can be Americans.
Yeah.
So she got back to work. She was still writing. And she continued to be the editor of the magazine for another 12 years.
Wow.
At which she retired as editor at age 89.
What? Yes. I love it.
Now, that same year, Thomas Edison spoke the opening lines of Mary's Lamb as the first speech ever recorded on his newly invented phonograph.
Oh, my God.
So this is how influential she had been to American culture. Unfortunately, just 2 years later, Sarah Hale died at her home in Philadelphia on April 30th, 1879, at age 92.
Wow.
That's a great life.
Listen,
92.
In those days, you could prick a finger weirdly or walk funny and then just die.
Yeah. And a historical marker exists at 922 Spruce Street, where she passed. She was buried in a simple grave in the Laurel Hill Cemetery in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, her legacy as an advocate for women's education, preserving American history and culture, for all of us eating, and also for all of us eating way too much food on Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Had an enormous, I know, thank you, enormous influence on American culture today, which still survives. And for a woman to have any kind of long-lasting effect on our society, in and of itself, is a notorious act, which makes Sarah Hale, a.k.a. the mother of Thanksgiving, our notorious woman this week. So that is Sarah
Hale. Oh my God.
Hale.
I love her. Now let's put her in the history books where she belongs.
Yes.
Obviously not in the next 4 years. We're not going to be doing that. But maybe 4 years after that. Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
you tell
I
your
also
friends.
Think she's... Tell your friends. I also think she's interesting because she was not perfect. Like that whole idea of like women, and she's a woman of her time. But I think for a woman of her time, she was extraordinary.
Yeah.
I think that her heart was in the right place. Her religious prejudices notwithstanding. It's so funny because I think often in American history, they use the suspicions of immigrants as a way to be like, but that makes me pro-American. And it's like, does it? But
can we just stop that now? Like, no more.
No, we can't stop it, Miriam. You know why? Because what? That is as American as apple pie.
Yeah.
To be suspicious against immigrants. I will say, they're usually suspicious against, like, they're not suspicious with blue bloods or wasps.
There's like three countries where they're not suspicious. It's like Norway, Sweden, and England. Everyone else is screwed. You know,
white Anglo-Saxon Protestants are fine, but if you're Italian, you're a little swarthy. If you're Jewish, because if you're Italian, you're a Catholic. They're saying it's a Catholic, but I'm like, because a lot of Italians look very, very white. But I think they're only suspicious of the darker Italians. Because if you come over here, if you look like Leonardo DiCaprio, I think they were fine.
Unless you went to Roman Catholic Church, in which case, burn them. You know, like, let me look at the Irish. They're whiter than me. Like, come on.
Oh, my God. That's why as a black person, like, I mean, I'm an Anglophile, so I know the history of England and Ireland, obviously. Yes. But like, if you're going to go on race alone, the Irish are as white as you get. But they were like, no Irish, no dogs, and no Negroes. Well, they didn't say Negroes. It wasn't, you know, or Jews. You know,
I was like, don't forget the Jews. We only need that apply also.
Yeah. It's like, so yeah. But that is Sarah Hale. And I think that she is a heroic, notorious woman. I'm going to put her in that category. So. Yeah. Lovely. Just in time
for
the holidays.
She's perfect.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, that wraps it up for our latest episode of Notorious Women. Remember to follow us on all the things. Please leave us a 5-star review. 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars. You can do that in the Apple Store as well as on Spotify now. And also, if you want to support the show financially, you can do that at our Patreon. That's patreon.com/notoriouswomen. That's patreon.com/notoriouswomen. Mm-hmm. And Miriam, how else can they support the show?
Well, Lavetta, I'm so glad you asked. We have Instagram, Notorious Women Podcast. We have TikTok. The TikTok, y'all, we're on it.
The TikTok.
The TikTok, Notorious Women Podcast. Also, you guys, we just joined Blue Sky.
Yeah.
So that's Notorious Women. It's not podcast. It's just Notorious Women. Because they said podcast was too long. That's fine. So we're there. And we have a YouTube channel. You can listen to episodes there. Also Notorious Women Podcast. And you can email us at notoriouswmpod@gmail.com. You can also DM us on Instagram if you would like. And that is that.
And also remember to copy the link when you're telling your friends about our wonderful show.
That you
copy
love so
the
much.
Link and send it to them and have them subscribe. Tell them to subscribe. So because they'll get a notification when we have a new episode drop every Thursday. So do that and we will love you. And also just maybe go out and eat pie early. I'm a big proponent of eating pie or cakes a little early.
Well, because if you don't, then you only have the one day. And that's just like not enough time.
Yeah, it's not enough pie time. So,
yeah. We agree. Yeah. Okay. We need guys. Stay strong out there.
Stay strong. Yeah. Take care of yourselves. And self-care is good. And you are perfect just the way you are.
You are.
Even if you stayed at home, because I'm not going to forgive the people who voted for the orange man who's the color of pumpkin pie. But most people stay at home. I'm so mad at you. I'm side-eyeing you. But, you know, maybe you thought it was going to be okay. And it's not. So now we know.
I cannot imagine someone who voted for the orange face listens to us.
Exactly.
If you do, I don't know. Yeah. I got nothing.
But no matter who you voted for, please take care of yourselves and your loved ones and be safe and just go and eat some pie. If you're getting stressed, eat some pie. You deserve it. It's fine. Yeah.
It's very fine. Fresh whipped cream, all I'm saying.
Oh,
okay.
Always. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.